There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of Yahweh came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. Yeshua said, as the days of Noah were, so also will the coming of the Son of Man be. Are we living in the last days, similar to the days of Noah? Listen in as Bonnie Harvey interviews L.A. Marzulli and find out.
Preoccupying spring here. Anyway, here we are, and we'll try to get to this every week now because it is so important because this is ramping up. With me, of course, L.A. Welcome to the show, L.A.
Great to be here, Bonnie. Thanks.
And he is on YouTube. If you type in and search Supernatural Confrontations, you'll get a whole list. And my computer is showing, at least 15 or 16 videos up already. So it is very interesting. People write in. We've had these experiences. They're not normal. And they know they're not normal. We have never gotten a description, a good storytelling time, a la L.A., about when you were out at Fatima and the demon woke you up at 3 o'clock and that whole battle.
Backstory on that is really important. In some ways, I look at myself, and especially, with the mounds and the elongated skulls, it's kind of like Elmer Fudd, shows up and tries to figure out what's going on, because that's really what fools rush in, right? Where angels dare to tread type of deal. And the Lord gave me one word in 2017, Fatima. And I knew that Adonai was saying, we're going to Fatima. And we received a donation out of the blue from someone that we never met. And thank you, Ben, for doing that. If you're watching this or hearing it, pretty amazing, really, the way all that came to pass. Paid for the whole trip and everything else. So Peggy and I go over to Portugal, and by a series, again, of just amazing coincidences — there are no coincidences — we meet up with Francisco Carrera, and Francisco became our guide. He's head of exopolitics. Francisco knew everyone involved in the Fatima, the counter story to the mainstream rendition of what Fatima was, what appeared, what didn't appear. And Francisco's part of that team. On that team was, of course, Fernandez, who we interviewed at great length, and others. And we made Fatima 1 and Fatima 2. We had enough material for two episodes. So I had done my homework. I had read Joaquin Fernandez's book along with Fia di Armada. Fia di Armada was the woman that went into the archives at Fatima. So you got to understand that. Backstory: 1917, World War One is raging. Tsarist Russia has just collapsed. The Bolsheviks are on the rise. Everyone's paranoid. What's going on? The Portuguese are involved in World War One, and everyone's looking over at Russia with the Bolsheviks and wondering, "Are we next?" type of thing. So very unstable, very uncertain time in the global scheme of things, and from that rises a group of psychics who publish their report or their automatic writing, their occult message, that I should say, they publish their message, which was obtained through an occult technique called automatic writing, where you go into a trance and the demon takes over your hand. This was written from right to left, upside down. You could only see it in the mirror. And it was signed Stella Matutina, the bright morning star. Another name for the dragon. And so they publish it, and basically it said on May 13th, 1917, something wondrous was going to happen in Portugal. And it was also another group of psychics had the same message. So right off the bat, strike one. God doesn't use psychics. Ain't going to happen, right? Through the technique of automatic writing to announce something like this. And what people don't realize, there are two Fatimas. There's the Fatima that most people know, and then there's the real Fatima, and that's what we delve into. We don't knock Mary. We don't knock Mary the Bible. People can believe what they want to believe. if you believe in, if you're a Mariologist, whatever, and you devote to the so-called Sacred Heart of Mary, that you believe what you want to believe. I think it's utterly blasphemous, in my opinion, and I'm entitled to my opinion.
Yes, especially as the co-redemptrix.
Yeah, well, when it gets to that point, it really goes off the rails, because last time I checked, there was only one God-man who hung on the cross and shed his blood for all of us, and that's Yeshua. So I highly respect Mary, very much so. But, you know, Mary did not rise into heaven with the assumption she's not the queen of heaven. I mean, this is all blasphemous. It's all man-made gobbledygook, which unfortunately the Catholic Church promulgates and does so with great gusto. So we drew all of our resources from Fina Di Armato's work. Fina Di Armato was doing a paper, collegiate, you know, she was in college, graduate school, whatever, on influential women of the 20th century. And so she chose Lucia, one of the seers. There were three seers that saw the apparition. Lucia was the eldest at 10. Francisco was 9. Jacinta, the youngest at 7. They were three illiterate peasants. They couldn't read or write. All they knew was what the parish priest had told them, stories from their grandparents and stuff like that. They were shepherds. They're out in the fields all day with the sheep. And an entity appeared, and she was wearing a short skirt. The skirt fell just below her knees. Well, women back in 1917 wore dresses all the way to the tops of their shoes. That's what they wore. End of story. So the fact that so-called Mary of the Bible would appear like that is nonsense. It never spoke to them. It spoke to the communicated with them telepathically. So Francisco could hear, Francisco could see, let me back up. The entity gave the three children something to eat and drink. This happens oftentimes, not oftentimes, but it does happen in UFO experiences where a person is given something to eat or drink or whatever. And they do that and it changes something and they're able to communicate with these entities. Well, very similar happened to the three children. They were given something to eat and drink, and then they could see and hear the entity. Francisco did not drink. He only ate, so he could see her, but never heard what she said. So now you're down to two kids, a 10-year-old and a 7-year-old. They asked her, where are you from? And she said, I'm from the sky. See, so all that's twisted. Oh, I'm from heaven. No, it's not what she said. How do we know that? Because Fina Di Armato had access to the 1917 handwritten records from Fatima. She had access to it, and she read them into a tape recorder. She wasn't allowed to photograph or take notes, so she was allowed a tape recorder. So she read as quickly as she could the handwritten notes from Father Fierro, who interviewed the children and all the witnesses from the May 13th, which is the first apparition, to the last apparition, October 13th, 1917. And she was able to read all of us. So that's what we have. That's what we go by. So we were filming on all of this and dealing with these people like Joaquin Fernandez. Fina had passed away 4 or 5 years earlier, so I didn't get to meet her. But I got to meet her daughter, and that was fantastic. And we filmed in Fina's house because her daughter inherited it. So we were filming in Fina's house, which was really cool. And lots of memorabilia, lots of stuff there. Just really fascinating. And there are two Fatimas. There's the Fatima that was recently consecrated, and they showed the Pope consecrating Russia and Ukraine to Mary's Sacred Heart. All that is a construct that happens when Lucia is whisked away at 18 years old and given a vow of silence in a convent. And a vow of silence is, you know, very, very common. If you go into a convent, that's what you do, which to me is like, you know, just wacky, because that's not biblical at all anywhere. You can't find any scriptural reference to anything like that, not even remotely. People want to believe that and do that, that's their opinion. That's their right to do it. But I also have a right to speak against it, not in a hateful way, but just to say there's no biblical basis for any of that. There just isn't. Sorry. I mean, even the priesthood in the days of Israel, all the priests were married. They weren't celibate. That all came later, much, much later, when the Catholic Church took over. And anyway, I digress. Let me get a start here. That's what we're dealing with. We're filming, we're interviewing the experts, the people who have delved into all of this. you know, basically for years. We're doing the interview, and we're in the northern part of Portugal at this point. We're in Porto. And so we've already been to Fatima, already filmed there, and we worked our way up and talked to different experts all along the way. So we landed in Lisbon and then worked our way up into Porto, where other experts were. And it was absolutely fascinating. We spent, I think, 2 weeks there. It was absolutely fascinating what we discovered, the interviews that we did. So one night I'm laying in the hotel room, and it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm awakened, and I am absolutely under attack in ways that I've never experienced it before or since. All I can describe it as that a principality. It wasn't a demon. It was a fallen angel. I didn't see it. Depression was so intense, I basically curled up in a fetal position and just lay there pleading with Jesus, Yeshua, Jesus, help me. I tried everything, every tool in my toolbox, every weapon in my arsenal, you know, the blood of a lamb, things like that. Bonnie, I didn't have a chance, not a chance. I mean, it was visceral. It was very intense. The oppression was unbelievable. And I just said to Father, I said, I'm leaving in the morning. I can't do this. You got to go find somebody else for this. I can't. I just no way I can even hold up against this. It's impossible. And there were other components to it, which I won't get into publicly, but it was very visceral. Eventually, so I stated that I'm leaving in the morning. Can't do this. You need to find somebody else. I can't do this. I admitted defeat. I had no victory at all. I felt the Spirit of a Living God tell me, trust the process. Oh, at 3 o'clock in the morning, right? So I finally get back. The thing leaves. I get back into a very uneasy sleep. I wake up. I'm punch drunk. I'm like wobbly, exhausted, physically, more spiritually than physically. And I make my way to talk to our first interview of the day that Francisco had set up, a gentleman who was a historian and a philosopher. And as we were recording the interview, I said, wait a minute, you know, what was here before the Christian era, before the Greeks and the Romans? Do you know? Oh, yes, the Greeks and the Romans, you know, that was Diana that was here. The huntress was here. But before her, there was Mora. Mora, who's Mora? Oh, that's the mother goddess. And she would appear as a beautiful woman, but she would turn it into a serpent. So she would lure the men to her. She would have her way with them as a woman and then change into a serpent and devour them. Okay. And then this gentleman who was my guide or my interview, the philosopher historian said, and there are still serpent cults that worship Mora in northern Portugal, which is where I was. And I, all of a sudden, the dominoes just, everything just fell over and I went, oh my gosh. So that principality has never been deposed, Bonnie. It's still in existence today. And people, and this, I'm going out on a limb here, what people don't realize is that entity that appeared to the children, in my opinion, is inexorably linked to the mother goddess, Mora. And there you go. So all that to say this, and, you know, I'll be 72 here in December. Tomorrow we leave to go check out another site and in Oklahoma. And I'm not so gung-ho the way I used to be. Mm-hmm. A lot more cautious, a lot more prayer, and then waiting for Father's voice to say, go, that type of thing. So,
does he tell you audibly or does he tell you telepathically?
Not sure of the question. What do you mean?
When he speaks to you and he tells you, something like the land is yours, which we went over before we started this, or go. Does he speak to you so you hear him in a dream or telepathically? You just hear it inside your head?
I've had both.
Okay.
I've had both. Most of the time it's telepathically where, you know, you hear his voice. But I've also had, I'll never forget this. I was laying on my back one night. I am in the early morning, half awake and half asleep with my eyes open. How does that work, right? But my eyes are closed. I'm sleeping, but I'm not sleeping. And I'm looking up, and there floats down gold letters, and they say PISGA, PISGAH. And I'm going like, wow, it was beautiful. I have no idea what I'm looking at. So after the vision was over, I got up and wrote it down at, you know, 2 o'clock in the morning on a piece of paper. because I know if I don't do it, I won't remember. And so I got up in the morning. Of course, I had no idea what I knew. Something had happened. I knew I had seen something. I couldn't remember the name, and there it was, Bisco. So I go, well, this can't possibly, I don't know what this is, but I've never heard of this. So I go online and I punch in P-I-S-G-A-H, Pisgah. Well, that's the Pisgah promise. Is God a man that he should lie? Right? Mm. That's where that whole prophecy comes down. Is God a man that he should lie? Or the son of man that he should change his mind? Oh, Holy Spirit's all over me again. Thank you, Lord. And when you know, that's just the way it works. When we utter his word, when we speak his word,
yes,
that's the truth. And that's when he shows up. When we worship, yes, that's when he shows up. And so that we called it the Pisgah promise. And we said it every day for, I don't know, a year or two. And then the Lord made good on that promise. And it was pretty amazing, just amazing. So audible voice, absolutely audible voice, heard that, Pisgah. That, when the letters came down, the voice said Pisgah. And I've had several of those over 42 years, not many, but several. Especially in the early days. Now it's more or less, and sometimes it's like really quick. It's just like boom, and it goes by.
Yeah.
Like a car going by you at 120 miles an hour. Whoosh, it's gone, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the Lord just told me something.
You know, it's more like a download than exactly. Speaking with someone and waiting on the next word.
Yeah, it's not what it is. It's more like a download.
Yeah, yeah.
But when I picked up the stone, it was the Lord said, pick up a stone. I still have the stone. And the Lord said, that's your Ebenezer. Hmm. L.A., the land is yours. Yeah,
yes. Unbelievable. Yeah, we were talking about the land there in California and how Father had told him that he could return. You know, when you said at the beginning, fools rush in, I didn't want to interrupt you, but, you know, I think you're one of the few that handle this material, these skulls, these happenings, these reports, these interviews. You're one of the few with the understanding that you have of good and evil, the Lord and the enemy, to be able to distinguish accurately what you're looking at. So I would discount that assessment of your qualifications to be involved with this.
Well, I appreciate that, Bonnie. I mean, thank you so much. It's, you know, I guess, you know, the Lord is, Father God has trained me up in this. I was deeply involved in the occult from 15 to 30 and, you know, went through all sorts of disciplines and was in an ashram for 3 years, lived, you know, had my third eye open and had spirit guides and all this other nonsense. So. Mm-hmm.
Does that still bother you today to have had that experience? Does it help you today in understanding the gravity of what you're dealing with?
Yeah. I mean, being on the other side of the aisle, you know, I know when someone says, well, you know, I have a spirit guide and it's very benevolent.
Mm-hmm.
And I say, well, that right now it's benevolent, but just wait, you know, type of thing.
Yeah.
And then I'll ask a question like, how do you know it's benevolent? What litmus test do you have? Mm-hmm. Why have you let something in? How do you know? What litmus test are you using to discern the spirit?
Right.
And they look at me like a deer in a headlight. They have no litmus test.
No.
Well, it has to be good. No, it doesn't.
Yeah.
And so I can, you know, I can use that as a launching pad. But, you know, I spoke at a UFO conference 3 weeks ago, and I was the only Christian guy there.
Yeah.
And I was the only guy, you know, talking from a Christian perspective.
You're the only one to be able to accurately discern what you're looking at.
Bingo.
Yes.
And two women gave their lives to the Lord.
Oh,
they came to me. They gave their lives to Father. And one of them, during I was praying over her, and she says, I feel something like hot tar coming up in my throat. I said, good, let's get the rest of it out.
Yeah.
And so we did a deliverance. Nothing happened. There was no shrieking or yelling or screaming, but the thing came out. And then her friend said, I need prayer too. We led her, you know, led her to her Redeemer. But you should have seen their faces. Both of their faces just lit up.
The confidence
is completely changed. Completely changed.
Praise Father. Praise Father. That's wonderful.
Pretty amazing.
You know, when I go through some of your videos here on supernatural confrontations, I am amazed at these, you know, they're telling the most bizarre stuff with no horror, this is normal.
Well, a lot of the people, I mean, if you watch some of the videos, some of them, you know, they're the people, in fact, we're going to air one here today. Now, this happened years ago to a man, you know, he was able to come on camera and, you know, discuss it without being too emotional. But we've had women especially, but not just women. You know, I mean, men can be emotionally too. But as a general rule, women are a little more emotional than men, as a general rule. Mm-hmm. But there's always exceptions to that rule. So I'm painting with a broad brush, all Christian feminists out there. One woman, one of the first ones we did, talking about this encounter that she had with this, I believe it was not a demon. I believe it was a fallen angel that she encountered. This thing picked her up and levitated her. And she was terrified. And even talking about it, you know, she was very, very emotional, very emotional. And, you know, Michael was raised by a demon-possessed mother. That's another one. He's very intense on camera. So, you know, he's a worship leader now. He's loves the Lord. But there's a residue. We have people praying for him. So, yeah, I mean, this stuff is all too real. And people, that's why we did the show, the new show, and Supernatural Confrontations. And it gives everyone a platform. Now, we've got, I don't know, like 300 people that we haven't gotten to yet.
Wow.
Yeah, easily.
Wow.
And we've got to get to these people.
Uh-huh.
And then it's a process. They got to come on Zoom and all this other stuff. A lot of sleep paralysis.
You know, I was going to ask you, do you think that the sleep paralysis or the confrontation fog, do you think that plays into, let me see, Matthew 24, where it says, if anybody tells you he's out in the desert, don't go there, because they can control your mind?
I think that the sleep paralysis, in fact, Vicki Joy Anderson has a book. We're publishing our first book other than my own on our publishing company. And Vicki Joy has just written a book. They only come out at night. Mm. We should have hard copy here probably in August because all the printers are so backed up. But we should have hard copy, and we're really looking forward to that. And then getting her, you know, getting her interviews and the whole deal, which is that's my end. But it's been about almost a year and a half, 2 years now since we started the original process. But we're finally getting it done, and the printers are what's holding everything up. I mean, the printers are about 4 months behind when they used to be like a month. Now it's 4 to 6 months before to getting someone.
Wow.
Yeah, and it's really weird. They're collapsing the country, but that's another.
Yes, they are. Everybody, get ready. There are bank runs in China as we speak, so it's going to come here.
Yeah,
this summer probably. So, LA, we're out of time. Thank you so much for being on with us and sharing your stories, being so generous. And please go, folks, to Supernatural Confrontations and sign up. LA is just collecting subscribers, 155,000 now. That's wonderful. We need to get the word out here. You're doing such a good job. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
And you know, time is so short that I think you need to put out 10 of these interviews a day. With these people, and I'm sure that the more you put out, the more that contact you as this becomes known.
That's what's happening. That's exactly what's happening.
Yes,
and we're excited about that.
Yes. Do you think that there is an increased incident of these kinds of occurrences?
I think things are ramping up. There's no doubt about that. Things are ramping up. It's just a question of, you know, how much of this are we really going to see? And nobody has an answer to that, really. You know, we don't know how much we're going to see. But the bottom line is we're seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff manifesting left.
Yes.
And that's why, you know, that's why we do what we do.
Thank you so much for joining us. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. And I'll try to get another one.